Here in Chattanooga, Forever Moccasin Bend is a fundraising effort to build parking and new visitor amenities at the Gateway site, the Ham Road entrance of the Moccasin Bend National Archaeological District. One person who knows well the history of Moccasin Bend and has helped to shape what it is today is Mickey Robbins, now on the board of National Park Partners. I spoke with him and with Tricia Mims, Executive Director of National Park Partners, in the first of a series of conversations this month only on Scenic Roots about the past, present, and future of Moccasin Bend. Mickey, thanks for joining us.
Delighted, Ray. Delighted to be with you.
When did you first encounter Moccasin Bend?
Well, I go back a long ways with Moccasin Bend. I'll make it brief, but I had a great aunt, Miss Semperi Long, Sophie Long, Aunt Sophie, and she was obsessed with saving, from a historical sense, both Moccasin Bend and Cameron Hill. She was quite a preservationist, and so I can remember when I was little going over to her beautiful house and seeing a whole stack of newspaper articles there about Moccasin Bend. More directly, though, I joined the board of Moccasin Bend Mental Health Institute in the 1990s. And at that time, we were just trying to be, several of us, Joe Guest and my first cousin, was chairman of the board, and we were just trying to be good stewards of mental health and of the hospital. And we slowly began to realize that because there were pressures to put an amphitheater out there on the Civil War sites where the Union artillery emplacements were, and also because of that extra land out there, there was pressure to put athletic fields for the university out there, both of which could have been perfectly legitimate uses of the land, but really conflicted, as we learned about, with the rich history there, both Native American habitation for 10,000 years and the Civil War artillery placements. And so we, in the summer of 1995, began to realize how important the history was there and what a great addition it would be to the National Park, which is the gold standard of preservation. There was an attempt in 1950 to create a national park then that failed.
Tell us more about that, because it was one of those by a whisker things could have been different.
It could have been very different, and it was by a whisker. But the story quickly was that Congressman J.B. Frazier, who had a rich family history and elected governor and this and that, but in 1950, Congressman Frazier introduced legislation to put 1,400 acres of Moccasin Bend into the National Park Service, and he had the co-sponsorship in the Senate with Kenneth McKellar and then Estes Kefauver, who was, of course, mainly from this area, although he was born, I think, was in McMinnville. But anyway, that legislation passed, and President Harry Truman signed it. But unfortunately, through miscommunication, and it sometimes happens with both private and public entities, you can have things can fall between the cracks. And lo and behold, in the waning days of the Governor Gordon Browning's administration in January of 1953, Browning tried to issue the necessary check for $100,000 that would go to the federal government from the state of Tennessee. He failed to get it through there at midnight at the end of January. And then the new governor, Frank Clement, comes in the next day and he puts a nix on all of that. And the whole effort for national park status for those 1,400 acres collapses. And it's an interesting story as to all the ups and downs after that. But anyway, it shows you how history can be very accidental. And that was a big accident.
When we get into the 1990s and friends of Moccasin Bend, there is a greater awareness of that history that you mentioned earlier. Tell us more about
that. Well, I think there on the board, like I said, we had the pressure from the amphitheater to build an amphitheater there, and then also for the ball fields, both very innocent uses. But the board began to slowly wake up, and we began to think of and realize of all the rich history there. Major McCullough from the Chattanooga Archaeological Association was invited out to a board meeting, and he began to make us aware of the 10,000 years of Native American habitation with all the different stages of that. And then also the Civil War engagement where the Union batteries on Moccasin Bend would shell the Confederate units on at Point Park, and played not a major role, but played enough of a role in the battles of Chattanooga to give it historical significance. And so the board, it's interesting because the board at Moxon Bend Mental Health Institute is strictly an advisory board. We didn't have any legal or financial powers, but we, lo and behold, decided we would, what the heck, would hold a press conference, advocate national park status. And we would do that through the instrument of the formation of a Friends of Moxon Bend National Park. And fortunately, we caught the attention of Mayor Gene Roberts from the city and Mayor Claude Ramsey from the county. Like I said, even though we had no real power except that of, I guess, public exposure, and we began to get it going. Great credit goes to Congressman Zach Wong, who immediately saw the attraction of a national park at Moxon Bend, and he took it on as one of his signature projects and was a wonderful elected official to work with. Chuck Fleischman, incidentally, continues to be very supportive. But Zach was tremendous, and then in 2003, we got the legislation passed to establish the Moxon Bend National Archaeological District.
And the journey from 1995 to 2003, 8 years, but a lot of twists and turns during those 8 years.
Many twists and turns and studies. Zach persisted, and that was the waning days. I always forget the term of the projects that were doled out to the Congress people. But anyway, those are not allowed anymore.
Earmarks.
Yeah. Yes, earmarks. And so, of course, that's a debatable subject as to whether they're more good than evil, but we won't go into that. Zach stood with it. We had extensive studies. The National Park Service came down. We brought the Native American tribes into it. We wanted it to be a holistic or all-inclusive effort with the Native Americans, local officials, community groups, history groups. And so we did manage to cobble together that and support Zach in his effort. And the legislation got passed. So we continue to make progress, but it's been a long, long road. I might just briefly mention that it started really, you could say it started when Adolph Ox in 1920, he was the publisher of both the Chattanooga Times and the New York Times. He offered to put up half the cost of setting aside Moxon Bend as a park, and the money didn't come up. That failed. And then there were debates all through the 20s and 30s as to the Chamber of Commerce saying we didn't need another nice ladylike park. And then on the other hand, some of the preservationist groups, especially from Lookout Mountain, where you have that gorgeous view of Moxon Bend, but they persisted. And eventually, on a long, long road into the 1960s, it did fall into 50s, it did fall into city and county ownership. We got the hospital out there. But anyway, Zach was tremendous, and we continue on with the efforts of the National Park Partners working with the National Park Service, Brad Bennett being the superintendent now, who's been tremendous. And so we are pushing ahead, trying to raise some money for the Gateway site, and we think it's got a great contribution to make to Chattanooga. Incidentally, it's one of the few national parks that's right at the doorstep to an urban center, and we think it could be a marvelous way that people that live in the city, urban youth, can be introduced to Park Service history and culture. And it's just very unusual to have something this close to an urban center.
I'm reminded of the Chattanooga Times editorial that you cited in your piece a few years ago for the Chattanooga Times Free Press. The potential for this area to be what Central Park is to New York City, and I know that, or Hyde Park is to London, and a number of other sites around the world.
Yes, there was that famous quote from Kenshin Exum. I think at that time, he may have been writing for the Free Press, but it was a wonderful quote. No, I'm sorry, I take that back. It was a Chattanooga Times editorial. You're right, Ray, and said, Moxon Bend can be a great an asset for Chattanooga, Central Park for New York City, Hyde Park for London, Champs-Élysées for Paris, the Prater for Vienna, the Cascina, I guess that's the way you pronounce it, for Florence, Italy, the Corso for Rome, or the Prado for Madrid. So those are pretty flowery terms that were exhibited there in that Times editorial. And we would like to think that there's some truth to that, that it could be a great asset for Chattanooga.
And Tricia Mims with National Park Partners, you would agree, wouldn't you?
Well, most definitely. I mean, it's right there at the doorstep of Chattanooga downtown. You can look across from Moxon Bend and see downtown. You can also see Lookout Mountain and just the iconic shape that the river makes when it makes that bend. I mean, it's unmistakable, and it's just everything that screams Chattanooga can be wrapped up in Moccasin Bend, or our Native American history, our Civil War story, just all the different people who have traversed that land over 12,000 years. It's just a tremendous cultural asset for Chattanooga, and we're very fortunate that it's very accessible, as Mickey said, just a few minutes from downtown.
And Mickey brought us to 2003. Tell us more about the journey from 2003 to today.
I know that once it became a national park site, I think the Friends of Moccasin Bend at that time sort of turned their eyes to trying to create a visitor center there at the Gateway site pretty early on. But it was sort of a combination of, there was just a lot happening at that time, that the recession happened shortly after it became a national park. The idea of trying to raise several million dollars for a visitor center was kind of put on hold. And then the National Park Service started working on their general management plan amendment and said, okay, let's get our long-term vision in place before we really try to do anything else at the Gateway. So it kind of got shelved for a while, this idea of opening up that Gateway site and creating the visitor amenities that you would expect when you arrive at a national park site. But finally, the plan was completed in 2017, and the Federal Centennial Program awarded this project a special matching program. So it's a 50-50 match. It was very competitive, but because there was already some private support from local foundations that had been awarded to the project, it rose up in the ranks and was selected for the Centennial Program. And we can feel it, you know, we're so close, just down to the last less than $100,000 to go. We're right on the doorstep of being able to get this thing going. So it was very exciting.
This effort is what we call Forever Moccasin Bend.
That's right. It's really just a nod to the legacy, the timeless aspect of this land that it's been a part of Chattanooga before it was ever called Chattanooga, when it was Paleo Indians 12,000 years ago roaming the bend. It's really got that timeless aspect to it, and it's a huge part of the ongoing outdoor legacy of Chattanooga. I mean, there's just a tremendous appreciation and love for the outdoors and our scenic amenities, and this national park site is just one of the gems, really a national jewel in thinking about our amenities here in Chattanooga.
When each of you spend time out there, where do you go? Which parts of it inspire you the most?
Well, it's hard to say. I love to go up to Stringer's Ridge to see the artillery sites and the encampment there of the Union soldiers. Incidentally, one of their commanders was Eli Lilly, who later became pretty well known in the pharmaceutical industry. But those are considered, I rely on Jim Ogden, who's the historian at Chickamauga and Chattanooga National Military Park. And Jim says those are some of the best preserved artillery sites or emplacements, mounds, whatever you want to call them, from the entire Civil War. I think that is really charming to go up there. And then you do get a glimpse of Lookout Mountain, Point Park, and I would just briefly say that the artillery weaponry, the howitzers of the Union, were strong enough to get shells from Stringer's Ridge up to Point Park. And many of the southern artillery pieces that you had, one, you had to point them downhill from Point Park, and that was a disadvantage. And second of all, I don't think that the quality was strong enough to really endanger many shells getting to Stringer's Ridge. Anyway, I think that's charming up there. The Indian story is great, but frankly, you know, that's flat there and you can't see much right now, and you need a ranger to take you around and see it. So anyway, I'd vote for Stringer's Ridge.
That's a great choice, Mickey. I mean, you really can't go wrong. One of the things I love best about Moccasin Bend is the trail that was created along the Browns Ferry, the old Federal Road and the Browns Ferry Trace. So as you walk that trail, it's only about 3/4 of a mile. So you can basically get from Moccasin Bend Road out to the river in pretty not too long of a time. But once you get off the road and into those woods, it's just like you can feel that this was a trail of tears, that there were thousands of souls who walked these same steps and probably looked back and got their last glimpse of Tennessee before they got on the river and headed out west. You know, just give me chills just talking about it right now. But then to think that 25 years later, that same road was the U.S. Army supply line, and being able to reopen that supply line, they called it the cracker line, that had been closed down after the Battle of Chickamauga when the Confederate Army was able to sort of seal off that ferry route and was trying to basically starve out the Union Army that was hunkered down in Chattanooga. They were able to reopen that line with an amphibious assault around Moccasin Bend in the middle of the night and get those supplies flowing across the bend again. Otherwise, you know, the battles for Chattanooga would have had a much different outcome, I'm sure. So just thinking about this one little stretch, this 3/4 mile trail, having all those layers of history is something special.
I'm also thinking now about Brown's Tavern, which we chatted about recently, Tricia. Mickey, you had a role in that whole effort.
Well, I just have always felt that Brown's Tavern, not always, but for the last several years when it came up, that it's one of the very few really old, it goes back to the early 1800s, and one of those early surviving structures. And one, it had to be saved for the sake of Chattanooga's history. And two, it was a great thing for the National Park Partners to do. And it was a real community service. So I felt it was a must. And it does have a very rich history. It goes back really before the Trail of Tears into the early 1800s. It had a small role to play in the Civil War. It just is a very special place. And we're very happy that it's happened. Tricia, you probably can add a little bit more flavor, but I would throw that out.
No, I would just say that you were definitely one of the champions on the board, Mickey, for that project. I know when it came up in the board discussion and we kind of really had to think about whether or not we were ready as an organization to take on owning a structure like this, a 200 plus year old building and the land that surrounded it, you know, that was kind of a going a little bit out on a limb and not something that we typically had done or had ever really done in the past. But I remember you saying in the board meetings, Mickey, like, we've got to do it. There's no way we can let the tavern not be preserved. We really just need to step up and there's no one else. It's us. So, and I think that you were very persuasive and I'm so glad we did it and that the board agreed to it, but it was definitely, you had a big part in encouraging us.
Well, thanks, Tricia. You've been wonderful. You've been a huge part of the whole success of National Park effort in Brown's Tavern as well. Moccasin Bend is just an unbelievable asset, such a great, rich history, and it's a gorgeous place. The view from Point Park is unbelievable, but we're dedicated to making it even better as we go along in partnership with the National Park Service. So thank you so much for inviting us on today. We appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate having you both on, and we should just remind folks, Tricia, where can people go online for more information?
ForeverMoccasinBend.org is our website for this current Gateway site campaign. It's got wonderful visuals of what the site will look like once we get this first round of visitor amenities in there. And from Forever Moccasin Bend, you know, that's the place to donate. Everything's matched right now, 50-50. So it's you'll be basically doubling your impact. But it also can get you to our bigger website to see about the tavern and some of the other projects that we're working on.
All right. Mickey, Tricia, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you,
thanks to the WUTC. Appreciate it very much.